Good morning. Good morning, Christian Fellowship. Good to see you this morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to worship Him with grateful hearts, with anticipation to hear His word. His word is alive and for us today. Bow your heads and pray with me. Lord, be glorified today as we lift your holy name. Thank you that you meet us right where we're at. It's in your mighty name we pray. Amen.
I'm calling on the God of Jacob, whose love endures through generations.
You are the same God. You are a healer, and you are a
As the winds of change blow in and out, Lord, we know that we can anchor ourselves to you and your word. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and his mercies are new every single morning. His mercies for each one of us, each one of y'all. Today, his mercies are new. Fresh start, abundant grace. He is our foundation on which we build everything else. We allow him to build through us. Amen. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken,
the house was built on. Come on, decide.
righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
What a joy it is to be in your presence this morning. What a joy and a hope it is to know, God, deep in our heart, deep in our bones, how safe and secure and stable we are in you and with you. That we serve a God, and even more, we are loved by a God and even served by that God who won't fail, because you can't fail, God. You cannot fail. Even when the circumstances look like your son dying on a cross, when it looks like the failure was ultimate, the reality was, God, that your victory was ultimate. In that moment, you cannot fail. You will not fail. Never have, never will. And that is the God we serve. That is the God we worship. That is the God who holds us through every moment of our lives and beyond. We love you. We worship you. We praise you, Jesus. You are our hope. You are our joy. You are our foundation. You are our everything. And we give you praise. In your name, together we say, amen. Amen. Please clap for the Lord. Don't ever stop your hands. Amen. 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 Our ushers are going to be coming back as we continue our worship through our giving today. You may be seated as we do that. And thank you for being here today. I'd like to welcome you to worship. If you are a guest with us today, we are especially thankful that you are here with us. You chose to be with us today, and we would love the chance to connect with you better. A couple ways that we can do that. Either you fill out one of those nifty little cards on the back of the seat in front of you and drop that in the offering bucket as it goes by. That's the only thing you need to drop in. If you're a guest, please don't feel obligated to give. This is something that we do as part of our CF family in continuing to worship the Lord, to give back to Him a portion of what He has given to us so that He can use it to build His kingdom. And since He doesn't fail, we know He will do it, right? He always will. He's doing it right now. But another way you can do that, we have a new here table out in the lobby. It's clearly marked with a sign, not to mention the wonderful people who will be there after service to connect with you. We have a gift that we would love to give you and just connect and say hello, and we are glad you're here today. It has been a wonderful week. I'm excited about hearing from the Lord today through Pastor Brandon, and just excited to be here worshiping with you guys today. Thank you so much for being here today, for braving the cold. It's definitely worth it. It's worth it, isn't it? It's worth it. All right, God bless you guys. We have an announcement video, and then we will enjoy our time in the Word together. God bless you.
What's up, CF Paris? We are so excited that you're here with us today. We have just a few announcements for you. First off, our app. We've got so much going on right now, so a great place for you to go and see all those things is going to be on our app. There's all kinds of things going on. You can see events, you can see signups, you can do all kinds of things. Speaking of the app and signups, Youth Camp is coming up and you can sign up on the app. You also can go to our website and sign up, and if you're still lost, you can go and find someone at the church that works there and ask them how to do it.
All right, guys, CF Women. Coming up on January 29th, we are having an event right here at the church. Go sign up for that. There's a conference coming. Go out to the table. Get all the information. CF Men, get signed up for the chili. It's coming in quick, guys. We are super excited about all these things that are happening. Speaking of things that are happening, today after church, don't forget, we have our Next Gen training. I was supposed to remind y'all. So there's a reminder. Don't leave. Go to the Next Gen training. It's going to be awesome. All right, guys. I think that's it. Pastor Brandon's coming up. Bye, y'all.
All right. Did I pull a Corey? Oh! You pulled it. All right. It's good to be up here this morning. You guys remember those black bracelets with the white letters back from the 90s? Most of y'all remember that, right? I was just wondering. All right. We're in a series called Determine, and Pastor Corey started this series out a couple weeks ago, and got us going and encouraged us with some stories from the Bible, and wanted to encourage us to determine to be at church for the next 8 weeks. And so here we are together going through this series called Determine, and the reason that he put that challenge out is because it speaks to a lot about who we are and what we believe and what we're trying to accomplish as a church, as CF Paris. And being that many of us are new into this community of fellowship, or we've been coming for a while but haven't been through an official Welcome to CF Paris class, this is kind of how we're handling it over the next several weeks, this series called Determine. And Pastor G last week did a phenomenal job at clarifying missions and values, and some of our core beliefs and the mission statement and the gospel, and it was just fantastic. And so these messages are kind of building on one another, and so if you missed one, of course they're online on our website or on Facebook, and so I would encourage you to go back and kind of catch up with what we're doing in this series called Determine. And today, one of our core values about community is this idea of belonging, and this idea of believing, and this idea of becoming. And if you read anything into our belief statements or that sort of thing online, or you've heard Pastor Corey mention it, he talked about it the first week, but Greg kind of explained it and dove into it last week, the belong and the believe portion, and kind of alluded to what I'm going to do today, and I'm talking about the becoming, or become, and what we mean by when we say become. And so I'm going to start off by saying what we don't mean when we say become. We don't mean WWJD, right? Those bracelets. Okay, we don't mean that. Now, it's a good reminder. I don't have anything against WWJD bracelets or shirts or any other kind of things that they made to help us remember. But really, there's no real power. There's no real power to do what Jesus does that comes from a bracelet, right? A bracelet gives us no power to do what Jesus did any more than you wearing, I don't know, who's a Rangers player, Seager? Any more than you wearing his jersey. That doesn't make you a good baseball player like he is just because you wear his jersey. Wearing a What Would Jesus Do bracelet does not mean we've become like Jesus. And so, in fact, it's almost discouraging when I think about what would Jesus do, because then I realize how far away from what Jesus would do that I would do. Right? Anybody else feel that way? Like, we can't expect ourselves to make on-the-spot decisions to be like Jesus or to do what Jesus would do if we don't have the lifestyle to back it up. And so it's not this idea of this ideal that's kind of floating out there that we're just somehow through osmosis going to become like Jesus. There's some practicality to it, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Dallas Willard writes this: such behavior is loving one's enemies, and such a life that makes forgiving seem like the only sensible and happy thing to do. Like, that's the kind of lifestyle that we are referring to when we are talking about becoming, the core values of this church, becoming more like Jesus, to the point that it becomes difficult to not respond the way that Jesus would respond, whether you're wearing a bracelet or not. And so it's entering into this lifestyle. We talked about how everyone has this place of belonging, and that whether you agree with our certain sets of theologies and doctrines, you are welcome to come here and attend here and work out relationships here. However, we do want you to know and clearly define that we are going somewhere, that we do have a purpose, that we are reaching for something as a community and as a fellowship and as a body of believers to become better than what we currently are. As our mission statement says, that we are inspiring people to believe and live as if the gospel changes everything. And so this concept of become within our core values encompasses entering into a lifestyle where the gospel is reflected in every facet of our lives. Becoming. And this is a journey. And as you can imagine, it doesn't happen overnight, right? Nothing that we really want to become good at or excellent at or do well happens overnight or on the spot. And maybe you are kind of like me then, where your disposition towards this idea of becoming more like Jesus is kind of like, well, then how do I go about doing it? Do I truly aspire to follow Jesus? Do I truly want to be the kind of person that lives like, talks like, acts like, does like what Jesus would do? Do I want to be that kind of person? And if that's the case, how do I do it? Because don't words and thoughts and ideals and sermons, don't they only get you so far? Yes. Right? Isn't there a limit to the scope of how they affect our lives and the way that we act and behave and treat one another and love one another or not love one another? And so there's this tension, right, when we talk about becoming more like Jesus that we find ourselves in. This tension of we know what we should be, and we have this idea or belief of what we can be, but then there's actually the reality of who we really are. And those three things are sometimes very far apart from one another, aren't they? Well, we may think this ideal, we may think we should be like Jesus, but maybe deep down in our hearts we don't truly believe that we can be like Jesus. Or maybe you think you're like Jesus because of all the sermons you listen to, But the people around you look at your practices in life, and that's not really who you are, right? And so there's this tension that's created when we talk about who we are and who we're becoming. And it's a journey that we have to become something more than just a belief, right? And so is this just about confessing faith? Is it just about believing in something? Is it just about doing a few special acts on occasion? Is it just about, you know, getting baptized, you know, once or, you know, when you have a good experience with the Lord, or just showing up to church every once in a while, giving a little bit of money, volunteering some, reading the Bible here and there, just generally being good? Or is there something more? Is there something more? Am I just hanging on, trying to show up to church when I can, holding my tongue the best I can, and just doing the best I know how to do? That he talks about this fullness of life and this fullness of joy and this light that he was and this confidence in spiritual things like he had. Is there something more than just this? Am I aspiring, are you aspiring to become more than just some wishful ideologies? Or are we stuck on ideologies? Or is there a possible way of life that actually produces life change? Is there a possible way of life that actually has power over sin and darkness, that actually makes and affects change and differences in our lives and our families' lives and the lives of those around us and in our community? So becoming is the more aspect of our journey of faith together. Becoming like Jesus. There is more. There is more than just the rut that we sometimes find ourselves in. There is more to be had. Now, it's kind of similar, this idea of becoming is kind of similar to, you know, our young men, they aspire to be like the baseball players, right? The star baseball players. And so they'll wear their jerseys, or they'll hold the bat the way that they hold the bat, or they'll use the products that they use. But just because they hold the bat the way that the superstar holds the bat, or just because they chew the same gum that the superstar chews, does that make them or give them the ability to stand up at the plate and bat on the spot the way that the superstar bats on the spot? Nope. Does the superstar baseball player, when he gets up to bat and he hits his home run, is that an on-the-spot thing? There's a lot that went behind that home run, wasn't there? Years of training and practice and repetition and batting cage and failure and right? And so this idea of becoming more like Jesus involves some real practicality in our lives. It involves some real concepts of things that we do. The young men, to be like the superstars, they have to adopt the practices, the lifestyles, and the disciplines that are related to the sport that they want to be good in. When you study the life of Jesus, when you actually look at what Jesus did, when you look at his words and you try to imagine the situations that Jesus found himself in, when you look at his interactions that he had with people, wasn't there something different about the way that he lived? Love your enemies? What? Right? We've been over a lot of things that Jesus teaches over the years here. And when you look at what he teaches and you look at the way that he treats people, wasn't there something different about the way that he lived? His joy, his compassion, his mercy, his form of justice, his humility, the way he treated others and elevated the status of the poor and the downtrodden and the less popular, the diseased, the mistreated, the oppressed, those that were considered less than by society. He had this way of lifting them up. He had this way of kick-starting life change and abundant life in people's lives, healing. That's the kind of Jesus that we as a body of Christians and believers and as individuals personally, I hope that we want to aspire to be, is like the real Jesus. A vibrant and alive Jesus who does make a difference in people's lives and can make a difference in your own personal life because of what Jesus is doing. I want to be able to aspire, we want to be able to aspire to the real Jesus, not a plastic Jesus, not a symbol of Jesus, not a story of Jesus, but a personal, real relationship would Jesus? We want to be able to have the what would Jesus do on the spot reactions, right? That's why we made the bracelet in the first place. We realized that we should be more like Jesus. But we understand that it doesn't automatically happen. And yet, somehow I think we've kind of got this separation of faith and practical life. And I don't think it was ever designed that way. Another example is my sons are both in pole vault, and they cannot expect to be like Mondo Duplantis, who's the best pole vaulter in the world right now, just by watching videos of him and using his pole brand, right? If they want to jump like Mondo, they have to adopt the intricacies of his vaulting style. They've got to put in the sprint work, the nutrition discipline, the stretching, the calisthenics, the drills, the mental processes. They got to show up to the competitions. They got to try and try and fail and fail and try and try. The repetitions, they put in the time, they put in the dedication, they put in the effort with the same frequency, the same dedication, and the same determination that Mondo has. And if they do that, then, right? And we often tell our children, or we've been told ourselves, that we can do anything that we aspire to be or want to be, right? We want to encourage them and give them hope and help their dreams flourish. But how much help do we actually give them to put into practice the things they need to put into practice to become the thing that they dream to be? How much help was given you to put into practice the things you need to put into practice to become the thing that you need to be? And so if we're going to become like Jesus, the real Jesus, the Jesus that changes things, the Jesus that brings life and joy and hope and peace, and in the midst of our darkest hours is there with comfort and strength, and that we can lean on to provide that same for others. We can't wait till somebody does us wrong to try to force ourselves to decide to treat them right. Right? Any more than Tomas and Kyle, if they just wait until a track meet to try to implement some of the things that they learn from watching videos and reading books and scrolling blogs, that's not going to really help them get any personal records, is it? Why do we separate that concept from our faith? If we want to become more like Jesus, then we need to practice the practices, the actual tangible bodily practices that Jesus practiced. It's not just a mental ascent thing. It's not just ideological thing. It's tangible and real. Jesus says it this way. Matthew 11:29-30 says, "Take my yoke upon you, learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, I probably don't have to explain this in here, but just in case, I didn't say yolk. I'm not talking about eggs. Jesus is not talking about eggs. Of course, he lived in an agrarian culture. They understood exactly what he was talking about. And we, being in a rural country atmosphere, we kind of understand because we're used to farm implements and those sorts of things. But the idea of a yoke is that it ties two things together so that their output can produce more, so that they can accomplish and be more productive. They would have this wooden thing, and it would put on one oxen, and the other ox would get underneath it. It would tie them together, and their efforts together would be a huge multiplier. And so Jesus is talking about us beside him, but yoked to him, doing what he did. Yeah. Same things. The two oxen yoked together, they're doing the same thing. They're just dragging the plow. They're just dragging behind. Now, maybe in our modern day, we talk about horsepower. We talk about tractors, right? We don't really use oxen to pull plows. We use tractors. Which we got to make sure to get our analogy or our metaphor right, because if you're just pulling a trailer, that doesn't work, right? Because a trailer is just dead weight. It just carries stuff. Like maybe a bush hog. Like you hook it to a trailer, and it has a thing, and it spins, and the bush hog is doing its thing, and so the bush hog is depending on the power of the tractor, but yet it's, anyway, we can get lost in trying to figure out this metaphor for ourselves. making it fit, but we understand what Jesus meant. He's saying, walk with me. Do what I do. Go where I go. Practice what I practice. Now, we can all agree that there are some things that Jesus was able to do that we can't do because he was God. And there are some liberties that he took. But at the same time, we also need to understand that he was very much a man. He was very much a human. And in his body, he had to have the same routines and habits and things that we need as humans to be effective and productive in life. We have to see Jesus as a man as well. We have to understand that he had to effectuate in his body practices and habits and disciplines that he could be a productive, contributing person to the ways of God and the ways of society. John 2:6 says, whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus lived. If we live as Jesus did, then we're truly in him, he explains. And as he also points out, if we say we're in God, but our lifestyle doesn't reflect his character, then are we really being honest with ourselves? What about the everyday? Not just on Sundays or at community groups or when you see people in public. What about the everyday? Becoming comes with evidence. Becoming comes with practical, tangible things in our lives that we can see. There is a happening. The more that my sons practice and train and repeat habits and pick up tips and read and study and try and implement and go back and do it again and go back and do it again and go back and do it again. With any sport, you do things over and over and over and over again. Why? Why is the repetition there? Muscle memory. Why is muscle memory good? If that ball comes flying at you, you got muscle memory, your response time's a lot faster. Is it on the spot? Is it you're trying real hard? Nope, second nature, right? It's second nature. You just do it. And it could seem like it's just because you're super talented, but we all know that there is a level of talent, but it only goes so far. There is a level of understanding. There is a level of aptitude. There is a level of these things, but they only go so far. So they need to be developed. They need to be practiced. They need to be lived out on the day today. And becoming is about putting tangible practices in place in our lives and repeating those things and producing results in us. I don't know if you've ever got lost on TikTok like I have or often do. If I'm confessing, you're scrolling and you see these fascinating videos of these guys like flipping bottles off the machines and they're like landing perfectly behind them, or the one where the lady's like stamping paid invoices, I guess, and she's like, and it's like 1 millisecond per page. It's crazy what people can do, right? Did they just all of a sudden start doing that? When my boys are young, they love Dude Perfect. Some of y'all might be familiar with Dude Perfect, all the trick shots, one of the YouTube phenomenon, right? And so, I've got some videos that would embarrass the heck out of them, but I decided not to show them. You're welcome, because they were trying to be like Dude Perfect guys. But it looks like, we see the highlight reels, and it looks like they make those shots first try. We know they don't make those shots the first try. Have you ever tried to, like, do some of the things they do? Like, throw a card up and throw a dart and hit the bullseye at the same time? They didn't get that the first try. How do they get that? How many hours? How many days? How many weeks have they been trying certain things to try to get it to work and get it just right? Now, they get better at aiming and they get better at certain movements because of what? Repetition. Doing it over and over and over and over again. And then they have those magic moments where it is the first shot. But that's not the norm. Like, have you ever tried to do a bottle flip? Some of y'all don't even know what that is. Get a little bit of water and you try to flip it and land the bottle on it. And some of them can land it on the cap. You just try to land it up and down, right? Have you ever tried to do that? You should try to do it when you get home. It'd be hilarious. But video it so we can see it. But it takes practice, and you can get to a point where you can get it every single time, but it takes practice. Every once in a while, you'll get it right just like that, but that's not the norm. Every once in a while, we'll respond to someone in a kind way or in a loving way or in a Jesus way. But if we don't have the practices behind that, it won't happen all the time. It won't happen every time. It won't even happen again with that person. Next time you fall into the same situation, it may not happen again. So to become like Jesus, then we must practice and repeat the practices that Jesus practiced. How's that for a tongue twister for you? So there's this idea of habits and this idea of practices. Just think about your own life. Think about the thing that you are good at, the things that you're good at. Hobbies, job, how you make your money. How did you get to the point that you're at? And how long did it take you to get there? And somebody just coming in wanting to, I want to do what you do. I want to do that. And you're like, yeah. There's a lot that goes into what you do, right? There's a long process of things, of life experiences and failures and learning and doing things and being in the mix of things. And so I know it says this in the book, but that's not really how it works right here in practice. And so you kind of have to tweak it, you know, and so it takes the time. The things that you know, the things that you're good at, whether it's academics, you're you know, top 25 or top 10, is it because you're super smarter than everybody else? I doubt it. It's because you've developed some habits over the course of your education that have put you in an optimal place to perform well academically. There's habits that you have that others don't that you probably don't even realize that you have. The same is true for anything in our lives, band or theater or mechanics or gaming or business, bidding jobs, cooking, websites, engineering. Just fill in the blank with what you do or what you're interested in. The things that you repeat, the things that you repeat over and over and over again in your life, that's what shapes who you are. That's what shapes who you are, what you do, and who you are becoming. Now, in the middle of this, I just want to pause for a second, because sometimes we look at our becoming and look at Jesus, and we look at others, and we look at ourselves, and we may have a tendency to get discouraged and feel like we can't, like, nope, I'm just not. But that's bad thinking. When my boys were young and they would ask me to do things that I knew they couldn't do, some of those things I would let them try if it was safe. And some of those things, sometimes not safe in Claudia's opinion, but some of those things I just knew, you're just not going to be able to do this. And so rather than, I was really conscientious of how I framed that to them. Because rather than saying, you can't, Dad, can I drive? No. You're not tall enough yet. But one day, I'm sure you'll be a great driver. Just not yet. Just not yet. And so then, you know, they want to drive, so you start teaching them and showing them, and, you know, you got to ride a bike and ride a four-wheeler. You know, you learn the mechanics of maneuvering, and you're driving along, and you know, it's coming up. They're, you know, 10 or 11. You know they're going to be behind the wheel soon, so you start talking to them. Like, hey, you know why this guy does this? Yeah, don't do that. You know why? So you start talking, and you start training, and they get concepts, and they get ideas, and so you get to a point where when they do drive, you know, they have to do the tests and the ACEble and whatever else they got to do these days, but then you got all the hours of practice you got to do, and while you're practicing with them, you're teaching, you're instructing, they're practicing, they're repeating. You know, there's a reason why you can't rent a car until you're like 25, right? Because it takes time. You get better at driving the more you drive. Well, most of us. It's not that you're not, okay? It's just that you're not yet. So don't get knotted up about what you can or can't do, or what you can't or don't do. How about that? It's not what you're not, it's just that you're not yet. So don't get knotted up about what you can't or don't. And that's the heart behind becoming and believing and how it mixes together. Like, you can. You have a Savior who is not just a Savior from sin, but He's a Savior from something to something else. And it's to a better way of life. yoke to him, and you'll have peace and rest, and you'll find confidence in becoming who Jesus has called you to be, who God has made you and created you to be. And so there's these, when we look at church and we look at our coming here and we look at our the things that we're trying to accomplish, there's this optics or this social aspect of what we do. We as leaders, we teach, we preach, we provide activities for you to make friends and grow spiritually and have your heart encouraged with Jesus. And you come as a member, as a person in the community to bless us with your presence and to help us and to volunteer and to give money and to listen. And so there's this idea of, okay, this is how it works, right? And if we don't like really talk about this stuff, it just kind of falls into place. This is how it is, and this is the flow of things. But we don't want to get stuck in that rut. I mean, those things are good. Like, God has put each of us where we're at, and we're doing the things that we're doing, and you're here for a reason, and your giving is incredibly impactful in what we're doing, and your time volunteering, your time being here. Like, this would be a lot less fun if there was only five people in the room, right? So, like, that's important. It's important stuff. But if we just get stuck in just that, and then we look at our lives in the everyday, and we see that the people that were doing this are plagued with the same problems and the same struggles that people that aren't doing this, plagued with the same darkness, and the same relational issues, and the same. So that's not right, is it? So what's wrong? Isn't the Jesus way a way of freedom from darkness? Isn't the Jesus way a path to eternal life? Not depression and anxiety, and isn't, and can't Jesus, and right? Like, we come back to that tension. But could it be that while we know a lot about Jesus, we have truths about Jesus in our heads, even in our hearts, that we've failed to assimilate his way of life, his bodily way of life? Not just his ideals, but his practices. We want you, the church, me, I want you to know that it's more than a Sunday thing. It's more than a one-time prayer thing. It's more than a baptism. It's more than a church camp. It's more than a great worship experience. It's more than just showing up. Showing up is a huge part of it, but it's more than that. Becoming is becoming more like Jesus in the everyday. Becoming in the everyday. And so that's why we determine, we've predetermined how we'll treat one another with our relationship principles and how we're going to relate to one another. And we've agreed to some basic life's architecture of mercy and justice and humility. We want to have a commitment to discipleship, to practicing Jesus's ways. We want to live life in community so that we encourage and spur one another on and help one another become more like Jesus, breaking bread together. We want to study what Jesus did and do likewise what Jesus did. So to become, this becoming part of our core values of who we are, it means to wake up to the spiritual journey that God has called you to. To become means that we need some practices instilled in our lives that move us toward the WWJD moments and that move us toward being lovers of God and lovers of people. Talking, studying, reading about Jesus, but ignoring his ways, ignoring his practices, that divorces our practical lives from our actual faith. It divorces our practical lives from our actual faith. It's never meant to be separate. Our faith, I use this illustration a lot with young people. Like, we try to put God in this box on a shelf, right? Like, I've got the shelf for school and friends, I've got the sports shelf, and you ladies' brains may work differently than this, just go with it. I've got these shelves and these categories, and then God's on one of those shelves. Or you know, maybe God is one of the shelves. Maybe he's one of the shelves and he's holding up aspects of my life. But the reality is never meant to be that way. The reality is God's the wall. He's the support. He's the structure. He's the everything that everything else ties into and touches and relates and connects and thrives from. Yeah. Dallas Willard says it this way. It is this mistake about the psychology of the human being that more than anything else divorces salvation from life, leaving us with a head full of vital truths about God and a body unable to fend off sin. When we look at Jesus' acts, his great acts, his humility, his faith, his compassion, but you look a little bit further, what was that surrounded by? What led into that? How did he get to those places? How was he able to affect those things? We see that he carried out those acts surrounded by disciplines of solitude, fasting, prayer, public reading of scripture, praise towards God, expressive, out loud even, praise towards God. So to become, we have to get out of our heads and we got to get onto our hands and feet. To become, we can't alienate our everyday actual existence from our faith. We can't restrict our faith to just a few special instances or special acts on rare occasions like communion or baptism or church or camp. Every day. When we look to the true life that Jesus is, who John described him to be as life and as the life, the light of the world, don't you want that kind of connection? Like, we all need a little bit more life, like real life in these times. We need true, abundant, eternal life. And don't you want that life and that light to overflow from you and be a blessing to others? Not a judgment to others, not an anger towards others, not a separation from others, but a blessing towards others. Don't you want to be able to visit and pray with people and then be able to experience hope and peace because of the Spirit and the presence of Jesus in your prayer? Don't you want to be able to bring prayers of healing to people, pointing them to Jesus? Their healing is in their broken bodies and in their broken hearts and in their broken minds as Jesus did. I want to do the stuff, right? I want to do the stuff that Jesus did. Like, I want to help people. I don't want to hurt people. I don't want to pull people away from God. I want to cheer people on and encourage them towards God. And I want my life to be an indication of the kind of life that they can expect if they were to run towards God. But if I've divorced my faith and my practices, if my faith is Sunday and community and when I'm around the church folks, but not in the moments when I'm very upset at people because they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, you got to bring those together. If we're going to become more like Jesus, let's make sure we're becoming more like the real Jesus, that Jesus that makes a difference. So how do we know we're headed there? And how can we become? If you want to know what you're becoming, just look at your habits. If you want to know what you're becoming, look at your habits. Look what you do day in, day out, every day, all day. Because that's the trajectory of who you are becoming. Paul said it this way, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever reaps to sow or to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. And whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Richard Foster says it this way in his book, Celebration of the Disciplines. He says, the disciplines allow us to place ourselves before God so that he can transform us. They allow us to place ourselves before God so that we can become more like Jesus. Jesus determined to habitually practice things that kept him connected to God. We see in Luke 5, it says that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. In that same thinking about Jesus and his practices, Hebrews tells us that Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered, Hebrews 5:8. And then John tells us, and we can be sure that when we know him, that we know him if we obey his commandments. And if someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar. It's not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. If obedience was something that Jesus had to learn, we won't learn it unless we adopt Jesus' lifestyle, right? And we can't adopt Jesus' lifestyle in our mind alone or in our heart alone. We have to engage in his disciplines, in his practices. We become by practicing what Jesus practiced. Now, I know I'm kicking a dead horse. I'm saying it over and over and over again. Why am I doing that? I wonder if I'm doing that on purpose. We all learn different in the room, and repetition helps all learning styles, interestingly enough. Jesus practiced commitments to life, family life. He practiced commitments to serving the poor, to fasting, to Sabbathing, to praying, to reading, meditating on God's word, sitting in silence and solitude, abstaining from distractions and hurry just to be with Jesus, with his Father. He was Jesus. Now, today's message and the rest of what I'm going to say before we close, it's not a teaching on each practice themselves. I just want to point you in that direction, because there's a lot of material out there. There's a lot of good things out there, and we got community groups coming up that's going to do some things about it as well. And so you can get into the practices, but like we said in the beginning, it's a lifelong process. It doesn't happen overnight. To become, though, we do need to do more than just dream up great ideals of belonging and believing. We need to do more than just talk about community and belief and the goodness of God. We got to go be it. Jesus' practices is what made him be able to do what he was able to do as a man. And he invites us into his way of life. He says, come, follow me. He doesn't coerce us. He doesn't ramrod or force us or even manipulate us. He just says, come. If we want to come or go, we go. If we don't. But he's going somewhere. And speaking from experience and from many stories that I've heard, following Jesus' way is the only way that alleviates the heart of darkness, the shadows that lurk, the problems, the stress, the things that weary our very bones. Yes. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Ultimately, whatever we do in our bodies affects our soul. For For those seeking to follow Jesus in Rome, Paul said it this way, "Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, or when you offer yourself as a worker, you got to answer to them as your boss, you have to obey them. So whether you're a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you're a slave to obedience, which leads to righteousness and life, we cannot separate our body from our soul. We're bodily beings and we're spiritual beings. But we experience our life primarily through our bodies, not just in our heads. And so our faith needs to follow suit. Becoming more like Jesus means becoming more like him, not only in our minds and in our psyche, but also in our bodies and how we use them. A few practices that we see Jesus doing. He made a habit of silence and solitude. He fasted before he started his ministry, and we can assume that he also followed his culture's regular engagement of fasting. He prayed. He combined prayer with solitude in Mark 1:35. He combined prayer with watchings. He intentionally made himself stay awake so that he could dedicate and focus himself on prayer. He liked to pull all-nighters. In service, Jesus habitually served others. He taught it to his disciples, and he modeled it to his disciples. He said, "But among you, it'll be different. Whoever wants to be a leader must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must become your slave." And then later, he went on to pull a towel, get down low, smell the stinky, nasty-looking feet. They didn't have, like, the stuff we have these days. No roads. It was mud and manure and oof. And he washed their feet. The miracles that he performed were acts of service towards others. They weren't for his glory, right? They weren't to prove to people that he was the Messiah. That's not how he rolled. He performed miracles for the benefit of others and to the glory of God. Each miracle that he did brought him closer and closer to his killing, because it exposed who he was and what he was doing. But if we want to become more like Jesus, we got to practice in our bodies what Jesus practiced. And when we begin to do that, then when we begin to spend time with Jesus, with God in solitude and in prayer and in fasting and in Bible reading and in worship, and there are other practices that the ancient Christians have developed that have helped us become more like Christ that you can study and look at. But slowly we begin to see the evidence of becoming. We see that loving our enemies and forgiving others, being kind and patient and committed and faithful and joyful and peaceful, it becomes second nature because we've practiced. To the point where, like Jesus says, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. You just do it. And you continue to walk in humility and naturally love mercy and habitually do justice because you are becoming like Jesus. This series, Determine, as a whole, it's spurring us to take it seriously, to be intentional about our belonging and about helping others feel like they belong, and considering our believing, and let our believing inform our becoming, and let our becoming inform our believing, and let all of that help make others feel welcome so that the light and life of Jesus, abundant light and life of Jesus, can affect change in our community. We're going somewhere as a church. Amen? And we can become more like Christ in character and in power by following his overall lifestyle. We need this paradigm shift in our hearts and in our minds. Should our faith make us different, or does our faith make us different? Does our faith fill us with life and light? It's a pitiful attitude to take, vain struggle against evil of the world, just waiting to die to get to heaven. That's real inspiring. It's not inspiring at all. We're meant for more. God expects more. Jesus calls us to more. He encourages us to more. And he helps us attain more. Not abstract idealism, not some utopian thought, but real, tangible practices of Jesus in our life. Salvation is by faith and by grace, but it can't be separated by what we actually do. Follow Jesus indeed. It's a lifelong journey, and we'll have the evidence, the ups and the downs, but we have this promise to hold on to, as Peter said, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on. He'll carry it on. He started it, he'll finish it. We just got to yoke ourselves to him. And we do that by doing what he did, right? We got to get out of that mindset of just showing up to church and just reading and studying the Bible. No, there's things we do with our bodies. Like, you guys got that, right? Like, things that you do. There's a reason why you kneel in prayer sometimes, right? There's a reason why we set times and rhythms to our faith. There's a reason why we celebrate Easter. There's a reason why we do communion. There's a reason why we have these rhythms and these practices, because the more we practice and practice and practice in those moments when it matters, we'll become like Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Imagine what it would be like if we actually practice what Jesus practiced. The spiritual life is a life of interaction with a personal God. And it's a pure delusion to suppose that it can be carried on sloppily. The will to do his will can only be carried into reality as we take measures to be ready and able to meet and draw upon him in our actions. So what would Jesus do? He would practice spiritual disciplines so that when he was put in a spot, he would know what to do, right? All right, let's stand up. Thanks for hanging out with me this morning and the rest of us. I hope these ideas have pricked your heart like they have pricked mine. I'm not up here preaching this message because I know how to practice the practices well. I'm in the not yet category in a lot of things. But there's evidence in my life that it's happening. And I'm getting better. I'm getting better at saying no and abstaining from certain things and giving Jesus bigger pieces of my life and my heart. Heavenly Father, I thank you so very much for each and every person in this room. No matter where they're at on their journey in life and in faith, no matter what they believe about spiritual things, we are all spiritual beings. And we all have a spiritual need. We all have a need to be saved from spiritual darkness. And Jesus, you're the only way. You're the only solution to the spiritual problem in our lives. And so help us all to practice things that you practiced, to be able to get closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a great week. Go practice.